Welcome to the Pack Mentality Podcast. I'm Matt Benwert. My wife, Caitlin, and I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Today, Caitlin and I are going to be discussing how to not be a coach's nightmare. So we have 10 red flags that we look for in a client, and I'm going to briefly go over them, and then we're going to go through them step by step. So number one is lack of commitment. Number two is unrealistic expectations. Number three, non-compliance. Number four, constant excuses. Five, over-reliance on quick fixes. That one will be interesting. Six, ignoring pain or discomfort. Number seven, lack of trust. Number eight, negative attitude. Number nine, no interest in learning. And finally, number 10 is constant price complaints. That one's going to be controversial, and that's why we'll be ending with that one today. All right, here we go. Let's go right into number one. So Caitlin, lack of commitment. Let's talk about how inconsistent effort or attendance can both affect progress and can actually demoralize the coaches themselves.
Yeah, I see this a lot. It's frustrating as a coach when I have either someone not be consistent in the gym enough to show progress. I mean, number one, it's hard to program. It's hard to program good workouts that are going to be, you know, linear progression forward. It's hard to program based on their routine and their lifestyle. I mean, we all know that external factors really matter when it comes to productivity in the gym and having a good workout, right? And it comes with a good mindset and all that stuff. So being inconsistent can really create a lot of dysfunction with routine and then obviously progression in the gym.
Yeah, for me, a big one is late canceling on me for a personal training session.
Yeah, I mean, that's always just annoying.
I mean, this has happened multiple times. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I've been coaching 16 years and nothing's worse than, you know, having an entire training plan ready to go, you know, staying up, making sure that it's polished, ready, you are prepared. You have a client at 5 or 6 a.m., you get there, you're prep, you're setting up all the gear, and then at 5:55 a.m. for a 6 a.m. session, they text you and they're like, hey, I'm so sorry to do this, but I won't be able to make it today.
Yeah, for whatever reason, right? Like, I mean, you could have, I mean, we've heard it all. I've heard the funniest excuses alive you wouldn't even imagine. But yeah, that can be not only like annoying, but also just really frustrating because, you know, Matt and I and most trainers, at least good ones, you know, take this really seriously and we want our client to improve. And so when we put in like, you know, that extra effort to like make sure everything's set up and ready to go, yeah, it just kind of puts a sour taste in your mouth.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where like we invest a lot of time into preparing things, especially customizing things for you, even in our group classes. Like we make sure we exchange information on every member and make sure that, hey, so-and-so is like working on this. Like we always update each other in Slack on what kind of clientele is coming in, both either veterans or inbound clients as well, to make sure that we're giving them a customized experience total. And then when people don't take it as seriously, it's hard for us to take you seriously.
Yes,
because,
exactly.
I mean, like, why are we going to commit to you if you're not going to commit to us either? If we're going to put in all this effort, we're going to divert our attention to the people who are fully committed.
Yeah, it's a partnership. I mean, you have to understand that, like, when you get a trainer, when you have a coach, like, it's a two-way street. And we're just really trying to, you know, get you to your goals, get you from point A to point B. And if you're not, you know, committing to us as much as we are to you, we're going nowhere.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, just insider secret, that the people who I work with who do fully commit and then they are consistent and they are taking control of their health and wellness, I pour so much more effort than I need to or than I'm being paid for into them, because it's just like anything, like energy feeds off energy, right? So yes. Positivity feeds off positivity, same thing with negativity, and then same thing with effort. Like if you see someone giving a lot of effort, you want to help them even more because yeah.
You want the best for them.
Yeah, because they, at the end of the day, they actually deserve results especially when you see them really trying hard. They're logging their food. Mm-hmm. They're keeping you updated. They're responding promptly to your texts. They're always in communication. They're asking good questions. They're showing up on time for their training session. Sometimes they even show up early and, you know, stretch even beforehand to make sure that they can maximize your time.
That's the best.
Yeah, and I love it with that because it's like, okay, they're here to do business. I'm here to do business.
Yeah.
I like this.
And take it seriously.
And I'm going to give you 10 times more of my effort because you're committed. And I think one thing that kind of people might help with the lack of commitment, if you're someone who's struggling with lack of commitment, sometimes I think it's that you aren't in enough pain to change.
Mm-hmm.
So recently I did have a consult with someone and then they came in, they want to lose about 10 pounds. And I was like, okay, that's totally fine. Can you commit to 3 to 5 times a week working out? And they're like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to work out that much. Like 3 times is a lot. That's like 3 hours a week. And I'm like, yeah, that is. It's going to take a minimum of that to lose 10 pounds in about 90 days, probably longer if it's 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, you know, like they just started kind of like, you know, trying to like, well, can we do something else? What about once a week? And I'm like, it's not going to work. You're better off, you know, going somewhere else. Cause if you're not committed to me, I'm not gonna be committed to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally the exchange just came to the point where I'm like, you know what? I think maybe it might be better if you gain 30 more pounds and you have to lose 40 pounds. Cause then you'll be in enough pain to actually want to change. And I was just being honest. I know that sounds a little harsh, but it's true. Like, pain is the one greatest motivator that will get someone to actually make a change. So if you're lacking commitment or you feel like you lack commitment, find a pain point, a hard enough pain point to where it's actually going to force you to actually take action on mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, moving on to number 2. Sorry, did I ramble too much?
No.
Okay.
I just have nothing else to say on that.
I know, I covered that myself. Thanks. All right, here we go. Moving on to number 2, unrealistic expectations. This is another common one we get all the time.
Oh, 100%. I mean, let's be totally transparent. Normal, I guess you could say weight loss, would be 1 pound a week. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can total maybe 3 to 5 pounds a month, that is on point. Like, you should be very, very happy with that progress. Because in hindsight, like, if you go on a whole year, you lose 5 pounds a month, that's 60 pounds in the year. Like, that's enormous, right? So being more realistic with your goals in that sense, for weight loss purposes, if you're talking more about gaining a skill or getting, you know, gaining 20 pounds on your back squat or something, being realistic with how long that's going to take is based off of, number one, your effort, time in the gym, and how much time you spend working on said skill, right? A lot of people ping pong back and forth. And they think, well, I should be better at this already. I'm like, well, you haven't really spent a lot of time actually working on that skill or whatever it is. So realistically, you know, plotting out how long something's going to take, probably multiply that by at least 2. Realistically, everybody underestimates. And I think, well, it's going to take a lot longer than that, especially when we're not getting paid to work out. Like, this isn't our job. This is strictly for health, wellness, and for fun. And in that sense, you know, it's not your number one priority.
Yeah.
And so if it's not your number one priority, be more realistic with how long something's going to take. Now, on the other hand, some people will take way too long to achieve their goal. And then in that sense, it's like, okay, you need to step back and kind of reevaluate what you were doing in that time frame, and like, could I have cut that down by a little bit? Or maybe I was doing the wrong training program, the wrong moves, whatever. But yeah, just realistic time frame can be found by working with a coach one-on-one and having that communication.
Yeah, I love what you said there about having a coach, because they can really help you manage expectations. Because I think we've all fallen into this trap, regardless of how experienced you are with fitness, because I'm an impatient person to begin with, or I tend to want results very quickly. With even if I put in a minimal amount of effort, I still expect to see that. So I'm still managing that myself. But I agree with you with like the time horizons, because I think a lot of times we think in months, mm-hmm. right? And if we need to, all of us could do a better job of extending that to, what is this going to look like in 10 years?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So go into it with a mindset of like, where am I going to be in 10 years? And what steps can I take today? And if also like, fitness is one of those things where you're never done. You're like, you're never in such good shape to where you need to stop working out, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no end game. You're going to just go into it with the expectation that you are going to be doing this for the rest of your life. And then just make that daily habit, or those daily activities, or every other day activities, depending on what your schedule looks like, make that the goal, rather than always striving for, because even if you achieve the goal that you set up for, like, let's say you want to lose 30 pounds and you hit it, guess what? it's going to feel good for a little bit, but then you're going to want to move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Or you're going to fall back. You're going to gain 30 pounds back again, right? There always has to be what's next, what's next. And that's kind of life. And I think it's unrealistic for people to think that fitness ends at some point. No, we're training to make sure that we can keep going. There, you know, you don't want to be that old person in the home who can't move, or you don't want to have like your family members have to be reliant on your family to take care of you. You want to be independent as long as possible.
Yeah. I mean, think of it like a relationship too, right? Mm-hmm. Think of your health as a relationship. Like, is there a marriage, or do you want our marriage, Caitlin, to be just to the point where it's good enough to where we don't have to work on it anymore? Or are we going to have to keep working on it for the rest of our lives?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. It's the same thing as relationships, guys. It's that regardless of where you're at, is that you're always going to strive to be better. And at the end of the day, it's going to make you better regardless.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Moving on to number three, non-compliance. This is interesting. So when you commit to doing something, but then you choose not to do it, that can definitely lead to prolonged training periods. And it's going to cost you a lot of time to backtrack. And you're also kind of wasting your money at the same time when you choose not to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I see this a lot where we give a lot of advice constantly. And for some of our clients, members at the gym, I find myself giving the same advice over and over again. And they're like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then just doesn't happen. So yeah, you're just kind of wasting not only my time, but your time as well. Our talks or our plans, where we write things out. Okay, you're going to do this. You're going to eat this many calories and, you know, protein, fat, carbs, whatever. And then they go home. Then they come back 2 weeks later. I'm like, hey, did you do it? Did you do the plan? They're like, no, actually, like I couldn't quite keep up with it, or I didn't really try. I'm like, okay, well, then what's the point? Like, we're just going to take forever to get to the goal.
Right. And yeah, it is frustrating because it's not a knowledge problem. I think that everyone kind of has an idea of what to eat and that they need to exercise 3 to 5 times a week. And then, you know, you need weight training. You need a combination. You still need to do aerobic work. You need to be active outside of the gym as well. And then we're there to give you reminders. But then if you do nothing with those reminders, then, you know, what's next?
Yeah.
Like what are you exactly, are you looking for? I mean,
yep,
if you're asking us for something, problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Execution is number one. I mean, and that comes down to just personal sheer willpower, right? And just being able to do the things that are uncomfortable and the things that you don't want to do,
yeah,
that you know need to be done.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Moving on to number four, constant excuses.
Yeah. I mean, we see this a lot. Constant excuses doesn't just mean like, in the gym complaining about, you know, doing certain movements or whatnot, but excuses financially, not being able to, you know, afford things, or making excuses of, you know, why they can't perform a certain movement. It usually isn't I can't, it's I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Like, that's usually what the real reason is. And then you have to figure out like, well, why don't you want to do that?
Yeah.
Like, is it simply just uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Everything's uncomfortable.
Also, you could reframe that. Like, is this a can't or a won't?
Yeah.
Like, can you not do this, or you won't do this?
Yes. For example, running. I don't like running, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to do running, right? And so, but for some people, it is like they can't physically do that. Okay, great. Like, we'll find an alternative then. But you can't write things off completely. Like, for like some people come into the gym and they're like, well, I don't want to do that. I'm like, well, why not? You're like deadlifting, for example. Remember your last post about how the guy said that you shouldn't deadlift, one of the top 10 movements that you should never do again.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One was deadlifting. And it's just like, well, are you never going to pick something up ever off the floor?
Yeah, that's like a deadlift.
You know, that's exactly what it is. So be more open-minded would be helpful in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, excuses can kind of come hand in hand with complaining almost. It's almost in that same realm. And it's one of those things where it's like, how does making excuses over something you know you need to do really going to help you or serve you in the long run?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I constantly make excuses, but I know at the end of the day I have to do this, those excuses or that kind of mindset doesn't serve you to begin mm-hmm. with. So you're wasting time, you're wasting your own energy making those in the first place. So, I mean, you can either do what it takes to get your outcome or stop wanting that said outcome.
Yeah. I mean, come into the gym with a sense of purpose, whatever that is. Some days it can be, I just need to go to the gym to move around. And that's fine. That can't be every day, maybe once a week. I would even go less than that. Every other week you have days like that. But for the most part, you should come in open-minded, willing to learn and work as hard as you possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. And a good way to overcome this, these excuses, and I fall victim to this. I'm someone who makes a lot of excuses. I still complain. I still bitch and moan. And so this is something I'm still working on. But a good way that I kind of think about things in terms of overcoming excuses is just telling myself that, you know, how lucky am I that I get to go to a gym where, you know, there's a great community of people who support me. Everyone's nice to me. I have coaches who care. I have coaches who are willing to talk to me about anything to help me get me closer to my goals. And I can go in there for 1 hour, turn off my brain, and everything is pretty much done for me. I just have to participate and then I can leave. You know, not all people in the world have that luxury. And a lot of people don't have that opportunity to be a part of something like that.
Yeah. I mean, focus on the how you're going to feel afterwards versus how you feel going into it.
Yeah, 100%. All right, number five. We're halfway through already. Nice. So over-reliance on quick fixes.
Yep. That can mean diet plans. That can mean training programs. You're wasting your time looking for shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. I mean, it's all over social media. Everybody's saying the same thing. You know, the basics work. The foundations work. Don't try to get too fancy. Don't look for like this new cool trick to do it. The basics work. The foundations work. That's why they were created. Mm-hmm. And you should just kind of stick to that and work on perfection versus constantly looking for more.
Yeah.
Right. I think like that's the biggest thing I see at like a ring row. I can make a ring row very difficult without you know, making it all fancy. Mm-hmm. Like you just need to slow down, focus on your technique, squeeze your muscles. Like all those things come into play. And I see a lot of people just constantly trying to add weight or doing like a harder pull-up variation or whatever it is. It's too complex. It's too complicated. It's not going to work. Shortcuts don't work. Fancy tricks don't work. Take it from us. We've tried it all. And unfortunately, yeah, we haven't found anything that is better than just doing the basics and sticking with structure.
Yeah, I would even argue that our training and our style of eating and our lifestyle has actually been even more simplified than what it used to be.
100%, yeah.
And one thing is that when I first started CrossFit, I was one of those people. I look for quick fixes. Even when I started working out, not just CrossFit, I look for quick fixes. I'm like, how can I make progress even faster? Like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? Mm-hmm. And even now in business, you know, now I've kind of gotten more into business stuff. It's like, you know, what's the new marketing tactic? Mm-hmm. And I'm always looking for, I'll ask like my friends or I'll ask other people. And then I'm always trying, it's almost like I want to hear something that I haven't heard before. Yeah. We're all looking for that one magic pill or that silver bullet. But really, instead of that silver bullet, it's going to be 100 perfectly well done golden BBs. So
yeah, I mean, in one sense, it's kind of disappointing that there is no quick fixes, but also it should be relieving to know that simplicity is just as good as anything else, if not better, right? So you shouldn't constantly be trying to manipulate everything to make it better.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I fall in this trap too before where it's like, I thought I was above the basics. Like I didn't need to do the basics because I was too advanced for that. And then if anything, I've gotten actually more basic as I can. And honestly, guys, and I know why, it's because it's boring.
It really is.
It's really boring to do the non-sexy stuff. When you see the cool thing on Instagram, either the new exercise or the new diet, at the end of the day, it's the basic just polished up and wrapped up into a present that you can unwrap on Christmas morning. That's all it is. And then when the novelty fades, guess what? You're going to go right back to the basics. Mm-hmm. So again, you're wasting your time trying to do something that is a quote unquote quick fix, because at the end of the day, it's not sustainable and the novelty will wear off regardless.
Yeah. I mean, I see it a lot on Instagram too, where I thought I was above the basics as well. And then I see other people doing the basics way better than I'm doing. And I'm like, Right. Wow, I'm weak actually. Like I need to go back. I need to scale it all the way back down, use bands, like all those things. Like never be afraid to scale down. scaling actually can make the workout 10 times better. Mm-hmm. And I've actually seen it in the gym more often now, is that people are scaling and they're getting way more results. Not only are they getting results, but they're having more fun in mm-hmm. the gym. They're not so drained after a workout or just like annihilated. You know, there's sometimes people leave the gym and I'm like, man, they got beat up today.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I hope they come back tomorrow. And then, but that shouldn't, that's not how, what the gym is made for. The gym should be made for you to get, go back 6 days a week. I mean, I would really like people to be in the gym 6 days a week. And if you're doing the right training program, that should allow you to do that. And also it shouldn't leave you feeling completely annihilated.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing to kind of get over, one mindset or practical tip you guys can take away from the over-reliance on quick fixes is I call this the better, more, and new strategy. And you can apply this to almost anything. So do what you're currently doing. If what you're doing right now is right, great. Now do what you're currently doing and do it better.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, once you have an establishment and you're doing it extremely well, do more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you do more of that said thing, then move on to something new.
Yeah, that was a great way to put it.
Yeah, get that down. Then just think of it better, more, new. So if you're eating healthy, great, do it even better. And then do more of it.
And do
more meals that are healthier. And mm-hmm. then add something new.
Yes.
Same thing with your training.
Yeah, I just had a conversation actually today with Parker in the gym, and we're talking about food. And, you know, it's not like his diet is bad at all. It's actually really good, very consistent. He eats the same thing, you know, almost every single day. And so we're just trying to be like, okay, well, how can we make this better then?
Yes.
You know, let's replace, you know, one protein shake with actually like food instead. Mm. Like there is always something you can improve on. And even for myself, like I think I eat pretty healthy already, but in reality, I'm like, man, I could eat more vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, I could eat more fruit. I really don't eat that much vegetables and fruits. And that is something I definitely want to work on, because again, like there is always something you can refine, and that's life. Like you're going to fall off a little bit and you're like, hey, I gotta zip it back up again.
Yeah.
You know? And so always kind of being okay. And again, open-minded to change and discipline, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah, 100%. That was a good one. All right, number 6, ignoring pain or discomfort. And then there's definitely a difference between being uncomfortable and then also pain and discomfort. So let's kind of chat about this a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, number 1, communication with your coach, all right? I think more communication, the better, because my clients that get the best results definitely ask a lot of questions, and we have really good conversation about, okay, what is this for? What is this going to be implied with or implicated with in real life? Deadlift is a great example, right? You're going to be able to pick things up better, and like groceries, for example, or whatever. And so just understanding the reason why we're doing things, having good communication will allow you to not be in pain, number mm-hmm. one, or discomfort. And then also know that what you're feeling is normal. I think that's what a lot of people need to realize, is that communicate with me a little bit better, and I'll assure you that what you're feeling is normal, and it's almost relieving in the sense like, okay, then I'm doing it right. Like, this is how it's supposed to feel. You should feel uncomfortable. For example, when I'm in a really tough workout and I feel really uncomfortable, I assure myself that this is normal. I should feel like this and I'm fine. And that really helps me get through a workout mentally and physically. Because discomfort makes people anxious, and they want to stop. They want to quit mm-hmm. instantly. Like, I see it in your face. And that's kind of my job as a coach, to assure you that it's okay. Like how you feel, you're doing great, you know, and what you feel is normal. And now you just need to relax and then push through a little bit more. And then by the end, people are like, wow, I did it. Like there's such a sense of accomplishment after pushing through that discomfort. And it's just a matter of getting there and being assured that you can do it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And there is a difference. Yeah, I like what you said about communication. And yeah, you definitely want to always be in communication with your coach. And there is no such thing as too much communication. So don't be afraid to ask a quote unquote stupid question, even mm-hmm. though I make the joke every once in a while. I'm like, does anybody have any intelligent questions? But that's just a joke, guys. I'm just there for the laughs. But seriously, ask me questions, ask Caitlin questions, ask Kim questions, ask any of the staff questions. And we're more than happy to help you. And a good example of this is the difference. Also, like, sometimes people don't know the difference between pain and discomfort. And so we're here to kind of help you differentiate either of them. So for example, since I've been taking on a lot of our new clients lately, and I've been coaching them a lot on the front squat on day one, you know, once I have the barbell in their hands after the PVC pipe, they always mention something about their wrists or their front rack position or their elbows. And so I have to reassure them, that's totally fine. Like, you're going to feel discomfort here, but you're not going to get injured as long as you do X, Y, and Z properly. And we make some adjustments to your elbows and your hand positioning. It will get better over time, and it will actually get easier when we start adding weight, because the weight will bear down on your shoulders more. So it'll be easier to hold, actually. But for now, since you're a little new, I don't want to throw on too much weight because you're new, and I don't want you to be super wrecked for the next day. So that helps. That helps. That, and then they were like reassured after that. Then it wasn't a problem. So because I gave them the difference between pain and discomfort.
Yeah. Then that's, again, exactly what you said. Having a coach to guide you through those moments is important. And the reason why we're coaches is because we've kind of gone through all these different things. I mean, my first 2 years of CrossFit, I trained with a broken wrist. I had surgery. I had a plate in my arm. I was very uncomfortable in the front rack position. I couldn't even bend my hand back for 6 months. So I definitely know that feeling. And I can assure many, many people that it will get better over time. The hook grip. Everybody. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I remember the hook grip.
The hook grip, yes, it is super uncomfortable, but it is so important, and I would almost go ahead and say necessary for Olympic weightlifting. And so if that's something that you're interested in or you want to get better at, just know that hook grip is a necessity. And so even though it's discomfort or it's uncomfortable and might be painful in the beginning, it will get better. Same thing with hand grips. And I think a lot of people are kind of realizing this right now in the gym, is that you have to kind of take the hit for a little while in order to get over the hump.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great way to put it. All right, number seven, moving on. Lack of trust.
Oh, with the coaches?
With the coach, yeah. People don't trust us for some reason. It's not like we don't do this full time for some reason. It's like, it can't be that. Like, I don't need to eat more protein. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you know what, everybody, like, I do the same thing. Like kind of how Matt said earlier, you're always kind of looking for that next answer, or you think maybe your case is special, but in reality, it's not. You have to kind of trust your mentors, trust your coaches. And if you don't trust them, then find somebody you do trust, because you'd just be wasting your time, and you're kind of wasting the coach's time as well. If, you know, that relationship and that trust relationship isn't there, to all our members in our gym, I'm 100% behind all of you. I want the best for you. I go out of my way to try to find new things for people to do. I mean, if they have a special, you know, case scenario, I want to find what's best for them. And so that's building a relationship and trust in that sense. And just know that, you know, we're here for you. And that's kind of like our job.
Yeah, I actually have a good example to go with this. I can't wait to tell this. So
tell us.
All right. I had another consult with someone. I do a lot of consults with
you
people.
Matt does do all, if not, yeah, probably all the sales at the gym.
I see everything. I've heard every story. I've heard everything. I've heard every excuse. I've heard every reason why I can't do something or someone can't do something. And lack of trust is a big one. Okay. And this was actually coming more from a current client. So this was actually with a goal review. And they mentioned that they were blaming their metabolism for the lack of progress that they're seeing in the gym. And I said, okay, well, you know, that's fair. And I asked them, you know, how do you know it's your metabolism? Have you had any tests done? Have you anything? They're like, no. I'm like, well, then how do you know it's your metabolism? Or are you just telling yourself that story?
Yeah.
So do you have to be aware? Like, I mean, are we, you always have to think, like, I know it's easy to get into this mentality of like blaming something just because you think what it is. But if you don't have a stack of evidence to actually show you that, you know, the problem is stemming from this, if you can't articulate what the problem is or what's coming from, then don't choose that as your story or what the fact is. And so I did some research for them, and I found out that even at like 80, 85 years old, even up to 90 years old, your metabolism only slows about 23%. And that's at 80 to 90
compared to what age?
As compared to like being 20.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's not very much.
It's not very much. I mean, it is significant, but we're talking like an 80 plus year old.
Yeah.
At slowing 23%, which actually makes sense.
Yeah. Most of our clients are 40, 50-ish.
Yeah. So we have like that kind of like the 35 to 44
yeah.
range is probably the sweet spot. And we have people, you know, above and below that. But I remember, and then through other research, I found that muscle mass is hugely affects calorie burn, mm-hmm. right? So I did a video on this recently, but we did find out that 1 pound of muscle burns an average of 6 calories per day. And I know it didn't seem like a lot, but when you, if you have 100 pounds of, or if you have like 150 pounds of muscle mass, like I do, I burn almost close to 1,000 calories just from my muscle mass alone. And a pound of fat burns only 2 calories. Mm-hmm. And so based on their in-body scan, their body fat mass was a lot higher than their structural muscle mass.
Wow.
So based on that, I'm like, okay, well now let's break this down. The muscle mass is low, you know, the fat is kind of high. So what I see is that, and also you work a sedentary job. So you have a low exercise thermogenesis, which means that the non-exercise activity is very low. You work out for only an hour a day, 3 times a week. So your activity is really only 3 hours a week. So is it your metabolism or is it the lack of muscle mass and the lack of non-exercise activity
yeah.
that's going on?
That's a lack of movement.
Yeah. So, but once I broke it down like that and I articulated the problem and I said, I gave them facts based on that, they were like, oh, okay. And they, but at least it made them feel better that it was that. Instead of shifting that to something that was out of their control, like their metabolism, because if I shift it to my metabolism, I'm therefore saying that this is out of my control. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault. But it's not your fault. It is your problem.
Yes.
One of my favorite quotes. And so once they kind of got a hold of that, they were like, okay, so, and then they got into problem solving mode, which was great. So they're like, okay, so what do I do? I'm like, well, we got to work on building more muscle. So, you know, make sure you come on lifting days, mm-hmm. lift with a tempo when you are here lifting. You know, go slow down, come up, increase your activity outside of the gym that's not exercise related. So just go on walks more, just be more active, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then we can dial in your nutrition a little bit, but their nutrition was actually pretty good. Mm. So, and that definitely helped.
Yeah.
That definitely helped them mentally to get over that. Cause then it just put them in the problem solving mode rather than blame mode.
Yeah. And then it built trust obviously because they had that communication with you and now they trust you and what you say. And then from there, we can build a really good relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Number 8, we have negative attitude. Luckily, we don't deal with this that often.
Yeah, no, really. We have great members. I've only had a couple moments with people throughout the years that have, you know, negative attitudes and stuff. But in retrospect, they don't really last in the gym anyway. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, like, a positive mindset creates positive results. And that's like something I definitely live by. I don't like being negative. I don't like surrounding myself with negativity. I don't think anybody really does if you really think about it. So, yeah, having a negative attitude can really affect not only you, but everyone around you and the vibe and whatnot. So kind of got to keep that out of the gym.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I've fallen victim to that too. I've been the negative one many
Matt
times.
Matt is negative sometimes.
I'm working on it.
And yes, always working on it. I'm definitely a preacher of a positive mindset creates positive environment, creates positive results. And so, and being gracious and having gratitude for things and making sure that, you know, like we're lucky we get to work out. We're lucky we get to go to a gym with fun people, with good programming. And once you kind of like get a hold of that, I mean, you can't let go.
Yeah. And, I'll let you guys in on something that helped me that, you know, you can be negative, just don't have that negative attitude. And sometimes I think negativity can actually be used as fuel, but just don't show it. And I'm working on that too, because I will say that I have used negative reinforcement or anger to help me actually accomplish of what I actually wanted. So for example, like I just wasn't happy where I was in fitness. So that prompted me to work out almost every day. And then I got great results from it. So sometimes having a negative mindset isn't necessarily bad, but if you let it define who you are and you let it overtake other aspects of your life, it can be. So if you are one of those negative people, try and find a way to use it to actually create a positive outcome from it.
Yes.
I mean, that's my best advice I can give.
Yep.
And I'm going to also let you in on a little insider secret that we do at the gym to filter out negative people. And we started doing this about 2 years ago, but what we do for when we're intaking all of our clients, and a lot of you probably have gone through this process of where we actually have a sit down meeting with you before anything happens, before you even start training with us. And we actually talk to you for about 15 minutes. And our whole goal on that is to actually filter you out.
to see if you're a good fit for us.
Exactly.
Not only us, but the community as well. Because like I said, Matt and I really care about the people in our gym. And so I can't have somebody negative join our community and potentially, you know, making it uncomfortable for other people around us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we do filter people out because, you know, we want to keep it, we want to run our ship, a tight ship, a certain way. And I think positivity definitely drives the community forward and keeps us tight knit and a really good group.
Yeah. And we're really protective of that because we've lost really good members in the past due to one bad member.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, I think one time we lost like three really good members we really like because they just couldn't stand one person in the class. And I'm like, okay. And so I had to fire that client. We got rid of them. And then there was also a time recently where a problem client actually reached out to us to try to come back. And we specifically said, hey, like, we just don't think we're the best fit for you. You know, mm-hmm. we'll help you find another gym.
Yeah.
And we do that strategically for a purpose. And that's because at the end of the day, you know, this is an environment that we want to create that actually keeps you motivated. And we know that the environment matters a lot, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to fitness. Like, you guys already have a long, stressful day. You have busy yes. lives. The last thing you want to do is come into an environment where some other person in class is all pissy and it's not productive. And you're like, well, I came here to get away from all that. So,
yes, exactly.
And we want to create that kind of environment that's motivating and to where it keeps you motivated and helps you get through your day, not take away from your day.
Yes.
All right, moving on to number 9. We have no interest in learning.
Yeah, I've already talked about this before, but open-mindedness is super important. Always learning. There's always something that you can improve on, always something I can improve on, and I'm always trying to find, you know, different ways to do movements because that's how you're going to create connections with your clients because everybody learns differently. And so, you know, making sure that you're just willing to learn and coming in with a sense of purpose to the gym is important. Like, you're not just there to show up. Again, like I said before, there can be days where you come in and you're just here to move. But mm-hmm. for the most part, you need to have some sort of purpose, some sort of drive. That's what's going to get you results. And I know everybody has goals in the gym, whether it be to maintain your fitness or get better at fitness. Everybody has a sense of purpose. And so when you come into the gym, you know, you're in learning mode. It's time to learn a new skill, you know, it's time to perfect said skill.
Yeah, I guess this kind of falls hand in hand with the non-compliance section, but I also take no interest in learning as someone who will refuse to take feedback,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they'll just ignore me when I try and help them do something more efficiently or better. And they're like, just like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, okay, what do I know? I haven't done this. I haven't tried the exact same thing that you're trying to do, and you're doing it wrong, and I'm trying to save you yeah. weeks or months of doing it the wrong way.
100%, yeah. I mean, all of these kind of things go hand in hand together. But yeah, willingness to learn, listen, and execute definitely matters.
Yeah, 100%. All right, number 10, this is our most controversial one, but constant price complaints. And well, we don't really get this a lot from our current members, but we get it from incoming clients or every once in a while it definitely comes up. And believe me, like, we get it. But at the same time, like, if you knew how much money I've spent on my own education and my own coaching, I've spent, how much do you think I've spent? Probably close to $100,000. Yeah, a lot of money on my education to teach you to save you time, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to think about, I think one thing is that people think about just black and white that I'm just paying for a workout.
Yeah.
When that's not necessarily the case. Like, walk us through, like, what are you actually paying for?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is a great question. And this actually comes up a lot. And it kind of baffles me that people don't understand, like, how much of a bargain I think CrossFit is, especially at our gym. But you're paying for programming. You're paying for a coach. You're paying for accountability. You're paying for the group class. Paying for the equipment. The gym use in general. I mean, on all these things matter. And if you really think about it, like, individually, they would cost a lot more. But when you group it in a package and you have a great CrossFit community, it seems like a deal, you know, and you get all of, and programming, number one, is huge. I mean, if any of you have ever looked up online programming, good online programming, not just some like 4-week program. You can get a 4-week program for like $10. Is it going to be good? Absolutely not. It's going to be trash.
Well, believe me, I've tried.
I've tried too. I've bought.
You've bought programming. Yes.
I mean,
and we looked at it. We're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. I really like that. I pride myself on the fact that Red Wolf, we have our own programming here. We do our own programming for our members, for the gym.
Yes.
You know, I don't buy programming. And when I do, I'm so disappointed every time. Even with like...
It's trash.
It is. It's terrible.
I can't believe we paid for it.
Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, this wouldn't work at our gym. Our members wouldn't like this. It wouldn't even flow well in a class. I don't understand how somebody would buy this and do it. And so... That alone can cost, I mean, and a good program, again, I didn't say this, but a good programming can cost anywhere between $150 and $250. Mm-hmm. And that's just the program. Now, you don't have anybody actually instructing you how to do these movements.
Or giving you feedback.
You know, so if you're someone who's brand new, how are you going to take a training program and then go and implement it in the gym when you have absolutely no idea what a single arm dumbbell row is or whatever?
Even if you know what it is, the chances of you getting it wrong are very high.
Yeah, or getting the right stimulus or using the right weight.
Using the right weight.
I mean, there's just so many factors. So programming, a coach, accountability from that coach, and all of our coaches are knowledgeable not only in exercise and fitness but nutrition as well. And you know, a nutritionist can cost $200 at least.
That's on the low end.
I don't know,
for someone who actually knows what they're talking about and will actually have important biometrics on you other than just your weight, it's going to cost a significant amount of money.
Yes, 100%. And all of these things you can look up your own. I have done it myself, you know, Google, how much does it cost for this? And it just, again, baffles me that people think CrossFit prices or just group training prices are outrageous. Or let's go even further into personal training. I mean, if you try to get a personal trainer at Equinox for 24-hour fitness.
I know what the price is. Can I say it?
Yeah, sure.
It's $150 to $175 per session. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get someone who's 22 years old who just got their certification, who doesn't really know anything.
Yeah, I mean, or you're just getting the pick of the litter, basically, or whoever is available.
$150 to $175 per session.
And a session is, you know, 45 minutes to an hour.
Not to mention the membership fees you're paying on top of that, which is right around $200 a month.
Yes.
Just in membership fees.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, these prices... you know, are today's prices. It was much different 10, 20 years ago, obviously. And
right.
So the reality is that fitness prices has increased just like the rest of the world. Everything else has increased
as
well.
We are immune to increases on equipment. Like our equipment has gone up significantly.
Yes.
Rogue's prices have almost doubled.
Yeah, from 2020 specifically.
Price per the square prices. Foot on real estate has gone up significantly. Insurance, everything has gone up significantly.
Yeah, and so with that said, you know, I strongly encourage people at our gym specifically to take advantage of the fact that you have access to great coaches, to a great community, to great programming, in my opinion. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a bargain. And so I don't see how people can do anything but a group class to get the fastest results in the least amount of time. You know, we only are we only have like that 1 hour, you know, for the group class, and you get so much out of that. And, you know, we're open, you know, for open gym, people can stay after and do their own thing if they want to. But yeah, I mean, cost is, I guess, high, but at the same time, the value is high as well.
Yeah. I mean, cost high is relative.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying that people think it's high.
Exactly. I mean, you have people out there buying a Vision Pro, but they won't buy a CrossFit membership. You have people out there who
get Starbucks every single day.
Oh, yeah. There are people out there who will drop $300-$400 on a weekend out at the bar and drinks and food and then complain about how expensive CrossFit is. And at the end of the day, it comes down to what you value the most, because at the end of the day, value is attached to your own perception. There's really is no actual measurement or practical way to measure value, really. It's just in the eye of the beholder.
Yes.
And you have to think about, like, what is your time worth to you? Because at the end of the day, I'll take it one step further. Like, you are paying for accountability, the group classes, the coach, the programming. But even more than that, you are reducing the amount of time, effort, and sacrifice that it takes to achieve goals. Think how much time, effort, and sacrifice it would take to do this on your own, or to look it up on YouTube, or to look on Instagram, and to actually be motivated to do it. And you know, even if you had all the knowledge to do it, you still have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, take it from somebody, and Matt and I both do this. We work out alone a lot, and it sucks.
It's hard.
It's very hard. I really like working out, actually. Like, this is what I do for a living. And I can assure you that even someone like me falls into the trap of, I don't want to work out. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and so I like what you said about, like, priorities, and that just how much time and effort you're saving by joining the group class, giving your full effort for that hour, maximizing the intelligence of the coach and your community and all that stuff. You'll get way further by doing it that way than by trying to do it yourself.
Exactly. And if you, I mean, everyone who's listened to this, if you're a member at our gym, I know you already, you know, are with us and you stick with us, and we appreciate you guys so much. So you guys already see the value. Otherwise you wouldn't be with us. But if you're not listening to this, or you're, you know, not in our area and you're looking for a gym or something, and you're kind of like held back by the price, you have to think of it like this. Like, you know, how important is it to you that your mental health is good? How important is it to you that you reduce your anxiety? How important to you is it that you reduce your stress? How important to you is your cardiovascular health? How important to you is getting better stamina? How important to you is it getting better body? Mm-hmm. How important to you is your confidence? How important to you is having better sex life? Right? Like, so you have to think of, like, is that worth the money?
Yes.
And in my opinion, it is.
In my opinion, it is too. I don't see how anybody does anything else. I just don't get it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I think, people get in such a fixed mindset in their own perception that I'm paying for group classes, or I'm paying for a workout, and I don't want to do this because it makes me uncomfortable, rather than reframing that and being like, well, what am I benefiting from doing this activity? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that if I had a pill that I could sell that would give you confidence, a better body, a better sex life, that you would live stress-free and anxiety-free,
everybody would buy it.
And I charge $200 a month for that. Yeah. Do you think people would buy that?
100%.
Well, there we go.
Because that's the easy way. It's just taking a pill, not being uncomfortable, and getting in the gym.
Exactly.
Exercise.
And yeah.
And it's just about finding what you like to do and what you're willing to do in order to, you know, complete the task of health and fitness. And whether or not you do CrossFit with us, or if you just do like bodybuilding or personal training, again, you need to find what you're willing to do every day and then execute that. And whether it be Pilates or in Zumba or whatever it is, but execute it 100%, full effort, consistently, trust your coach. Like, all these things matter, and you will get results. Like, I'm not saying you're not gonna get results from doing Pilates. I know tons of people who look amazing, and Pilates is really hard. And I've taken a class before, mm-hmm. and you know, I was like surprised at how challenging you could make it. But again, it's a matter of you willing to put in the effort, execute, trust the coach, and do it.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it all comes down to, you know, committing to the activities.
Yep.
And if you look at all the successful people that, you know, find someone who's more successful than you in whatever it is, whether it be fitness, business, career, whatever, and then look at the activities that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Not don't look at their outcome, but look at the activities that they commit to. And then if you commit to doing the same activities that they do, it's unreasonable to think that you won't achieve at least 80% of their success as well, as long as you stick with it long enough and you do it the right way at the right time for the right amount of time.
Yeah, a great example actually is, so we have the jump rope challenge right now at the gym, 5 minutes a day for 30 days. And I was watching a tutorial from this girl on YouTube who is like jump rope master, right? And I'm trying to like learn some things from her. And she was in her video saying the reason why I got here, and she showed like a before video of her learning how to jump rope, which mm-hmm. was like pathetic. Okay, she could barely jump rope. She said that for 1 year, she practiced jump roping for an hour a day, every single day.
Right.
And like when I thought, and I was like, here I am complaining about 5 minutes.
Yep.
5 minutes of my time trying to jump rope like her, when in reality, it took her an hour a day for a year, you know? So realistic expectations matter. And then, you know, and then execution on my part, if I'm not willing to put in the time, the effort, and the energy, and trust the coach, whether it be a video or in person, you know, I shouldn't have the same results as they should. So that was kind of relieving to know that, like, wow, okay, I have to put in a lot more effort in order to be better at jump rope.
100%. No, that was awesome. Very cool. That's a great example. So if you don't want to be a coach's nightmare, everyone, please commit. And then also set realistic expectations. Comply with what we tell you, because we are not lying to you, because we have done this ourselves.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yes. And do your best not to make excuses, because they don't serve you. Don't rely on quick fixes, because at the end of the day, the novelty will wear off anyways. And don't ignore pain or discomfort. And the coach can definitely help you differentiate the both of them. Trust your coach, because again, at the end of the day, we've done this. We've done this 1,000 times. We do this full time. We do this all day. We do this 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah, be open-minded, because that really matters. And Matt and I are learning just as much as anybody else. You know, I don't have all the answers. I definitely try to learn from, you know, people I see on Instagram and social media and all those things too. And just that has really helped me progress in the gym. And I can only say that I hope to learn more as the years go on.
Yep, exactly. So then keep a positive attitude, everybody. And take interest in learning, because that's what keeps it fun and fresh. And then finally, don't complain about price. That was the last one. Because you're getting
a bang for your buck.
Yes, we're reducing the time, effort, and sacrifice that it takes to get there. Because believe me, I did on my own for a long time, and it takes a lot longer, believe me. All right, buddy. Thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review, so that way we know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit and DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, good luck. Have fun.
Nailed it.